You're with SBS Radio.
Mr. Alan Lopez is a senior animator from an international animation production house here in Australia. Hi, Mr. Alan.
Hi.
Can you tell us your story growing up?
It's a very long story.
Okay. We're here to listen to that.
I started drawing when I was a little kid, like most of children who like to draw. I was one of them, and so growing up in school, I always doodled on my notebooks and stuff like that, and I did little flip animations on my textbooks. So yeah, I got interested in animation at a young age, at a very, very young age, even though I didn't know the process yet of animation. And for me, it was just all games and fun. And this was one of those kid stuff that I used to do growing up. So then later in life, I took fine art in college. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure yet what I was going to become, like what sort of artist I would turn out to be. So, but I was so into painting that I took up painting as my major. Mm-hmm. And little did I know that one day I would be into animation. So,
okay. So, Alan, what is your favorite animated film and animated character?
During those days when I was growing up, there was already anime. Like we used to watch like Voltes 5 and Mazinger Z on TV. Mm-hmm. So, but there were also other stuff which were really like Disney shows and movies, and I think I like a lot of different shows, but I guess the one that stood out is Dumbo, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Why do you like that?
Because like many Disney shows, it's very emotional, and even though the characters are animals, they relate to you in a very emotional way. Like, for example, Dumbo and his relation to his mother is very, like, it brings back lots of emotions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think it's important to have a formal education or training to be an animator?
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an absolute must, as long as you have the talent, because the number one factor we're looking for, like most production studios are looking for, is talent. So maybe there's lots of kids, like, for example, in this studio, like, or in the previous studio where I worked with before, who graduated from animation schools. But it wasn't absolute must. But they still had to undergo training so they'd be able to adapt to our style, and whatever they learned in college also helped. But mm-hmm. It wasn't everything. It was like they already knew what they were going to do because of that. But you still had to undergo training, like lots of training.
Okay. But would you say that talent and passion are really important?
For me, personally, I think it's like any other career. If you don't have any passion for it, I guess you'd just be like a robot or like a machine. And you'll feel empty while you're doing it, or I guess passion is important, as in any other career, because if you don't have passion, your heart's not in it, and it's like you're being forced to do something that you're really, really not into. So more likely you have less chance to succeed in it, and you won't be as good as people who are really passionate about what they're doing. So I guess passion is important, and talent.
Yep, plus training, right? Passion,
yes.
Talent, and training.
Yes, training will open you to more possibilities and sharpen your skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many years have you worked as an animator?
I've been in the animation industry since 1994. Actually,
wow. Yeah. But a long time
yeah.
now.
Yeah, it's yeah. probably it's yeah a very long time, and actually, a lot of my coworkers were born during the 90s. And they were like surprised that I've been in the animation industry for such a long time. And I started back in the Philippines.
What did you do?
I started as an in-betweener because like the animation process has many levels. So especially way back when we were still doing when we were still using traditional style animation, which is like paper and pencil.
So, okay.
So I started as an in-betweener. In-betweener is actually a person who does the drawings, who makes it move. Like because the very start of it is the key drawings.
Mm-hmm.
So the key drawings are based on the layouts and the storyboards. So the key drawings are basically the main poses of the character, of the action,
mm-hmm.
like from point A to point B. So the animator would draw the A and the B, and everything in between it, like the flow of the action, the movement. Let's say there's three more drawings that you need to do to make it like smooth.
Mm-hmm.
The in-betweener will do all of those drawings.
So it makes it real, right? The movement?
So yeah, it will make it smoother, and there will be like a continuous flow of movement.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how I started. And then I moved up to animator, and then everything became digital. So the process changed a little bit. A lot of the processes that used to be done in traditional animation were skipped, or we didn't have to do it, like painting backgrounds manually. So everything had to were being done digitally. So a lot of innovations were incorporated in the process. So yeah, it became modern.
Mm-hmm.
But the principle basically is still the same. The principle animation still remains the same.
Which is better, the past one or the new developments?
Well, being someone who has gone through all of that
mm-hmm.
through the age, yeah, I can safely say that. Well, at the moment, using modern methods is faster.
It's quicker, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can actually produce more work at a quicker pace, and production companies are very welcome to innovation and technology because the budget that they need to spend on a show,
mm-hmm.
because they need less people and less processes that they have to go through to finish a show. So unlike in traditional animation, you need hundreds and hundreds of people just to be able to do everything that a computer can do right now.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that it was like a longer and more detailed process before than it is today, or is it still the same?
I think the quality depends on the type of show that you're doing, but I guess I think quality has improved a lot because of the technology, and it's also faster. It's quicker to produce a show. And it takes less people. So I guess technology helped the craft a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but for me, it was more fun to do it like the old school way because you're more immersed in it because you're using pencil and paper, and if you make mistakes, you need to erase it manually with an eraser. There's no delete button.
Yeah.
So.
You miss it badly, Alan?
Not so much.
I miss it,
but maybe I would go back to it if I was doing my own project, and you know, just to.
mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't do it again for commercial purposes. Like if it was like something that I would do to make money out of, I wouldn't go back to the same process because it will cost a lot.
All right, sure. For what visuals do you do your animation? Is it for digital content, films, or games?
Mainly for TV series.
TV series?
Yeah.
Can you name this TV series?
I can mention it. Yeah.
Okay.
In the studio I'm working for right now, we're doing Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a new season, a new episode. with new episodes, and it's a new series based on the popular TV show Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the same characters and mostly the same characters. It's a very popular franchise, and I'm very proud that we're doing it here in Australia, which is not common to do a popular show. Like, before there was the Disney studio in Australia, but when they closed, a lot of the animators lost their jobs, and they didn't know where to go. Some of them went to the States and stuff like that. So now I'm very glad to say that animation is making a comeback in Australia, especially traditional animation, which we're doing now, although it's digital. We're still doing it like the traditional way, which means we have to draw everything. But instead of doing it on paper, we're drawing it on a Cintiq. So it's like a screen where everything is done digitally. So there's no mess, no paper and no pencil. So it's quicker, and the quality is much better. Line quality is more consistent, and pretty much the purpose of any animation show is to produce something which looks like it was only done by one person, and it has to be very consistent. So we are achieving that better because of the technology that we're using now, which is Toon Boom.
I'm curious to know, because you're saying a while ago that some of the animators already went or is in US right now, right? Do you have any dreams as well of like going to United States and doing animations there?
Actually, back in the Philippines, we're already doing a lot of the shows being produced by American, North American companies such as Nirvana, Disney, Nickelodeon. So many animations have been done and are being done in the Philippines. And Philippines is actually one of the biggest sources of animation talent in the whole world.
So hey, this is the first time I heard that.
It's not the biggest, but it's one of the biggest. It's really, really, we really have a big industry back in the Philippines. And it's been there since the 80s.
Okay.
So we used to do a lot of old school stuff. But a lot of really popular shows, I'm sure you will know once you,
Can you name it?
When I was starting, we used to do X-Men.
Oh, I know that series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Marvel was one of our clients, and everything that we did was all international. We never did anything that was local.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good thing going on back then. So yeah. Philippines is actually one of the go-to places if you want to produce animation, international animation. So, yeah.
Is Philippines better than Australia in terms of animation?
The truth is, I think at the moment we have more artists in the Philippines.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of the studios in the world are actually looking to Philippines as a source of animation talent, such as animators, in-betweeners, and the studios. Actually, a lot of we currently have several animators working for us in the show that we're doing right now here in Sydney. So they're working offshore, like back in Manila, and they're working from home.
Okay.
Because we don't have enough animators to work on our show, which is very difficult. Considerably a difficult style that we're doing now. And it's good that Nickelodeon chose our studio, which is Flying Bark, as like the studio to do the show, the entire 52 episodes. So, and yeah.
Well, Alan, what are the new technologies today that you think will improve the creation of animated films?
I'm really not much of a techie person.
Mm-hmm.
I only use the tools that I know how to use because of like certain innovations that the studio who I work for have decided to take on. Like before, when I was still using pencil and paper, our studio decided to become digital, and so we trained in Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't seek it out myself. It was just something that our studio wanted to develop. So I was one of lucky persons who learned Flash animation because of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to get shows, more shows, and since the world was like moving towards the modern era in when it comes to animation, so we wanted to become part of that. So yeah, I learned Flash.
Okay, so Flash is the new technology.
It's not really new.
Okay.
We started using it back in 2002. It already has very, very many, many versions. It used to be Macromedia, now it's Adobe, and a lot of 3D technologies as well. Although I'm not really a 3D artist, I'm not familiar with any of the 3D programs that are out right now and being used in production. Although, yeah, it's something that I would be keen on learning if given the chance.
Alan, because you know your work is like a creative work, right? So I'm interested to know, are there times when your ideas are rejected?
The thing is, well, let me give an example of what we're doing now is a project from Nickelodeon, which is Rise of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Among other things that they provide for us, like materials that they provide for us to be able to do the show, are the storyboards or the animatics.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a guide for us. It's like a layout, a rough layout of like a particular episode that we need to do based on the scripts, also provided by Nickelodeon. Everything else, these animatics or storyboards are already done by artists from Nickelodeon back in the States, and we only need to follow them and animate them, actually make them move, because animators are actually actors who use pencil or the pen to convey their acting on digitally now. So whatever ideas that I have in mind, probably in terms of acting, it depends. Because we have a director, like any other TV show, like there's a director who has everything. So if, for example, I want to incorporate a certain idea which is not provided in the script or storyboards, if the director likes it, we'll incorporate it. If not, then I have to change it. It's like quality control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sometimes the director will go for it, sometimes not.
But is it easy for you to accept it? Have you been used to it? Yeah. Have you been used to it?
Well, we have to, because it's not only, even though this is a creative sort of type of work, we're also, all of us are also need to be professional about it. So, so time is money, and you know, we can't go about like always complaining about stuff that gets rejected. But it's part of the industry. It's part of the craft, you know, because the directors and the producers, they're the ones who run the show. So you're just gonna have to follow their lead and do what is necessary to be able to do something that's acceptable for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a senior animator at an international production house here in Australia.
Uh-huh.
How do you bring in your Filipino identity in your creation?
The thing is, like what I said before, we're working on a franchise, which is very, very popular, and there's so many fans who know these characters by heart, and a lot of the people watching the show actually grew up loving the show. And I don't know, as someone with a Filipino background, I don't think there's any room.
Maybe you're
for me.
Maybe you're a great talent in drawing.
I think the contribution that I can say that I'm contributing to this is my talent, and that's it. And
that you can do it through pen and paper, and then also in digital, right?
Yes, like I'm also proud to say that there's so many talented people in the studio that I'm working with, and they're all very young, and a lot of them are just starting their career as animators, and And a lot of them are showing a lot of potential and very, very great talent. Like I guess that's one of the reasons why Nickelodeon gave us the project, because they saw the talent that we have in the studio and the talent that actually coming in through the doors every day and showing what they can do, you know, on a tablet. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's great to be working with these fine young people.
You're learning from them.
We're all actually learning from each other. Okay. It's a team effort. And animation and production cannot work if there's no teamwork, and you can't be like on your little corner on your own and not communicating with other artists. You have to be like going out there and communicating with other artists so you could learn more, and the show will improve a lot because of that.
Do you have any advice to Filipinos who dream of being like you someday?
There are actually a lot of Filipinos out there who are making it big already in animation.
But for the young ones?
Like for young animators, Filipino animators aspiring to break into the international market, I think the best thing they can do is be passionate about it, watch lots of cartoons and learn from it, draw a lot, because drawing is a big part of animation. I mean, I don't know any animator out there who cannot draw. So they have to learn how to draw, constantly draw, practice. Mm-hmm. And if they can't go to an animation school, it's okay. A lot of the Filipino studios out there accept people for training as long as they show a potential. I think one of the things that they would ask, one of the things they would want to find out is if you can draw. And I think the only thing that really matters, mm-hmm. and once you've proved this to them that you can draw, I guess it's easier for them to accept you as a trainee, and everything just goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Everything will just follow, right?
Yeah. So young animators, once you've broken into like an international Filipino studio, working on international shows, it's a big start. Because from there, once they've gained enough experience and talent and learned what they need to learn, they can easily try and, you know, apply for jobs outside of the country, mm-hmm. like the U.S. or Canada, and, you know, even Australia.
Mm-hmm. So, what projects have you done in your career as an animator that you are most proud of?
To answer your question, I'm actually proud with all of them. Even the ones that haven't broken really into the, even the ones that didn't become popular,
mm-hmm.
I'm still proud of them because if I hadn't gone through all those experiences, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So I guess everything that I've done in the past, whether it be a big project or a small project, it's like part of me and part of the experience that I can claim as my own and the reason why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to continue to do it, right, Alan?
As long as I am able to, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So thank you very much, Mr. Alan Lopez, for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me. And yeah.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.